liturgy will be recited by Rabbi Leon Feuer and Rabbi Arthur Lelyveld.
Tzur Yisrael, Rock of Israel, in whom our fathers put their trust, we turn to thee at our hour of need, knowing that thou wilt not forsake us. Our sadness is depthless, our loss immeasurable. Bound together by our grief in the passing of our beloved one, our rabbi, teacher, leader, friend, our prayers soar upward unto thee. Hear our cry and answer us. Thou who art the comforter of the sorrow laden, in whom the lonely and afflicted find strength. We thank thee for the precious life of thy devoted servant now committed to thy care, for the full measure of years thou didst grant unto him. We are humbly grateful that he was permitted to live in this time, which so urgently needed his wisdom and courage, so that he might, under thy providence, lead thy people Israel from darkness to light, from oppression to freedom. How wondrous thy ways, that all his matchless gifts of mind and heart and tongue were dedicated to thy service, that it was given to him as to few of thy children to bring to completion so many holy tasks. Grant eternal peace, O Father, to the mortal remains of him who served thee so well, so faithfully, so single-heartedly. With the kiss of thy consolation, bring renewed strength to his beloved wife's companion, his sons, his dear ones. Be with this congregation and this community, which he loved so deeply and in whose behalf he labored so arduously. Comfort all Israel, whose cause he championed so bravely, so tirelessly, so triumphantly. Comfort Israel in the loss of one of its noblest sons. May his indomitable spirit live on in all of us whom he influenced, challenging us as he did in life to confront our tasks unflinchingly, to overcome every difficulty, to surmount every obstacle, that thy kingdom may come, when the knowledge of thee shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen.
Sinai El Hehorim. Me'ayin Yovo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai. Ose Shomayim Vo'aretz. Adonai Mo'odom Vate Do'ehu. Ben Enosh Vat Chashvehu. Odom Lahevel Domo. Yomov Kitzel Over. Baboker Yotzitz Vacholof. Loerev Yomoleil Vyovesh. Toshev Enosh Adaka. Vatomer Shuvu Vene Odom. Pode Adonai Nefesh Avodov. Velo Yeshmu Kol Hachosim Bo. Happy is the man that hath not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and whose leaf doth not wither. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her triumph go forth as brightness and her salvation as a torch that burneth. And the nation shall see thy triumph, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, and the mouth of the Lord shall mark out. Thou shalt also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the open hand of thy God. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that are the Lord's remembrances, take ye no rest, and give him no rest, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me as far as Bethel. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy hand today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came near to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. hold ye your peace. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up into a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael Ufarashav, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.
The Honorable Frank Lausche, United States Senator from the state of Ohio, Dr. Emanuel Newman, Chairman of the American Section of the Jewish Agency, and Rabbi Solomon Freehoff, lifelong friend and distinguished colleague, will speak of Rabbi Abba Hillel Silver, the compassionate man, the rebuilder of Zion, the great American, the loyal and creative Jew.
Mrs. Silver, members, your family, members of the temple, and your distinguished guests assembled here, rabbis, the task that is mine, I confess to you, seems light and yet heavy. Somberly in this period of national sorrow, we come to this temple to pay tribute to a noble man. Rightly, in the words of the Old Testament scripture, we can say, know ye that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel. Fallen, yes, that is the judgment of tear, drowned eyes, and of broken spirits, burdened by the sadness of a sudden farewell, unexpected, given by a worthy man. Ladies and gentlemen, we bow in this beautiful temple of worship, vividly conscious of the empty place at which our surprised eyes are staring, staring stunned and bewildered and strangely moved. There is a vacant place in the sky of our national religious life. A vacant place in the sky of friendships, a vacant place in the pulpit of this temple, and among the true worshipers and workers for decency and justice. the lights of the candle will shine more mystically. The footsteps of the rabbi will not fall upon the floors of this temple. His voice is silenced, his hands are motionless. But just as surely as we are here, his presence will always be here. It is with a deep sense of tragic loss that we are gazing in this hour with changed eyes upon a changed world. Our lonely and wondering hearts cry out in sorrow and surprise. I have been asked to speak of Rabbi Silver's dedicated life and dedicated service to his people and his service to the people of the world. Manifestly, Rabbi Silver's strength and inspired leadership strikes dumb any poor, faltering words of appraisal or appreciation that I might speak. Rabbi Silver to me radiated trust, sympathy, justice, strength, wisdom, and the struggle for peace throughout the world. He had a glow of inner radiance, and wherever he worked, he created a climate of dedicated public service without meanness, baseness, or duplicity. He was tenderly merciful, but realistic. He was fair in the utterance of approval, but he was not effusive. He was firm but just in the condemnation of wrong. Rabbi Silver believed in conciliation, but never in the sacrifice of principle or power. He respected ideas and words, but he deeply realized that words and ideas meant nothing unless they were translated into reality. He encouraged action eternally, but not unless that action was founded in reason. To me, Rabbi Silver was a model. I met him probably 40 years ago. I was a young lawyer and went to hear his address at the City Club of Cleveland. I was seeking guidance. I listened to him. And when the meeting was over, he left me with a spiritual cleansing. I felt that I was better equipped to enter my normal life. Rabbi Silver, in addition to the tender and ever just ministries to his own flock, and with all of his great powers to mold and inspire others, he became the recognized leader in the establishment of Israel as a nation. His resonant voice was heard wherever he could strike a blow for the restoration of the homeland of the Jews. Again and again, when other men who did not share his views bitterly attacked and criticized him, he remained firm and persevering. I sort of felt at times that he probably found solace in the words of the poet who said, "Men may misjudge thy aim, think they have cause for blame, and say thou art wrong. Yet hold on thy quiet way. God is the judge, not they. Yet fear not, be strong." He did not fear. He was strong. He was strong in the interest of decency, justice, and peace. I've lost a dear friend. The world has lost a great leader. But I know as he moved from our sight and our side, when the trumpet blew, Rabbi Silver was ready. He is gone, but his works will live with us. They will forever be an example of what good moral and patriotic life means.
Friends of Abba Hillel Silver, family, relatives, distinguished ambassador of Israel, at a moment like this, one who has been close to our great departed friend and leader stands almost speechless, before the mystery of death, which is the mystery of life itself. On this day when we are gathered here, fellow Jews throughout the world, and more particularly in the land of Israel, join with us in mourning the passing of one of the greatest and noblest figures of contemporary Jewish history. I'm here authorized to convey the respects and profound sorrow of the organized Zionist movement, the Zionist Organization of America, which he headed, the American Zionist Council, representing all of organized Zionism in this country and of the World Zionist Organization. But beyond that, I know that I speak for the people of Israel and for its leadership, who have sent their own messages of condolence and sympathy to the family and to the temple. It is a high privilege to say a word on this occasion, but also an almost, for me, intolerable burden. 57 years ago, as a boy, I joined a boys' club in New York, the Herzl Zion Club, on the very evening when they were celebrating the bar mitzvah of their president, Abba Silver. But a few short months ago, I was privileged to preside in Tel Aviv at a great manifestation of honor, of respect, of devotion of citizens of Israel to Dr. Silver. In the intervening period, we, his friends and colleagues, observed with growing admiration and with a sense of amazement and of awe the rise, the growth of this towering figure who has left his indelible imprint not only upon his generation, but upon the history of his people. As a youth, first dedicated to the Zionist idea and the Zionist cause, he displayed extraordinary qualities of leadership, which came to full fruition later in life. He went to Cincinnati to the Hebrew Union College, at that time reputed to be a hotbed of anti-Zionist thought and ideology. We were disturbed. He was not affected. On the contrary, it was he who was largely instrumental in converting the Reform movement and the Reform rabbinate in this country to a pro-Zionist position. And increasingly with the years, his colleagues and disciples bore testimony to that influence which he wielded. From his earliest days, he was active in all phases of the Zionist movement, of the effort to restore the Jewish national home. But it was not until 1943, at the age of 50, at the height of his powers, that he assumed the leadership, the command of Zionist forces, indeed of the Jewish community of America. In those climactic years in which the fate of Israel and its political future were to be decided. And despite all that we knew of his past and of his rich endowments of mind and spirit and physique, we were all astonished at the new Silver, the new man, revealed to us in the hour of need and of anguish. It was after the revelation of all the horrors of the Hitler years, after Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen, he bore in his heart the pain, the suffering, that his fellow Jews experienced, and upon his shoulders the responsibility of carrying on that fateful struggle to establish at long last a home for the homeless, a center for renewed Hebraic civilization. Because not only his sense of adherence to his people and his sense of justice, his burning sense of justice that demanded this of him and of us, but also his sense of pride and his rebellion against the indignities that have been heaped upon his people through the centuries. This is not the time nor the place to evaluate his leadership, to trace various steps that led from the depth of despair and gloom in the early 40s to that dazzling victory at the United Nations in November 1947 and the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948. His was the voice that called us to action. His was the call that marshaled our forces. And his the eloquence that presented to the United Nations in Council assembled the historic claim of the Jewish people to national restoration and national dignity. Those were unforgettable days. And Abba Hillel Silver's name already is writ large upon the pages of our history. It will be written still larger as the years go by and succeeding generations, viewing this generation, this fateful generation of which we have been part, will appraise more fully and more truly the historic achievements of Dr. Silver and the truly heroic role that he played at that time. Last July in Israel, we were all happy to see the outpouring of feeling, of love and of gratitude, the masses of Israel and of its leaders, its president, its prime minister, its former prime minister, all. May I add one last word for myself? He was my boyhood friend. My comrade, my teacher, my leader. Abba, Abba, Lama Azavtanu. Too soon, too early, too suddenly. No one to place you. No one to blow the great trumpet, to mobilize our people in hours of danger. Philosopher Whitehead has said, children, children are our immortality. In them we see the story of our lives. We hope to see the story of our lives rewritten in a fairer hand. So be it. Amen. Abba has achieved an immortality given to few. Superlatives are banal at a time like this. Farewell, dear friend, dear master, dear leader. May the prayers of all Israel accompany you to your eternal rest.
Fellow mourners, Abba Hillel Silva was primarily a rabbi, and whatever else he did in the world was the outgrowth of his rabbinical ideals. I am certain that as a rabbi and a preacher, in health and in sickness, he was constantly aware of the pageant of the weekly portions. As they succeeded each other through scripture and through the calendar. And I am rather certain that in the last few weeks, he was aware of the scriptural saga of Jacob. Jacob, whose glory name was Israel, and who is the symbol of all our highest emulation. I wonder if he thought of the words, the last few days, Vayetze Yaakov. Jacob departed. And the rabbis say about that seemingly overplayed verse, Jacob departed. They said this is told us in order that we should never forget that when a great man is in the city, before he departs, there is a glory and a radiance. And when he has departed, the glory fades and the radiance is dimmed. This is our life these days. A glory has faded, a radiance has dimmed. One almost feels like using Shakespeare's pagan words. The bright day is done, and we are for the dark. Friends, we certainly should not attempt to evaluate his achievements. There are too many, and many of them too monumental. There'll be hundreds of meetings, scores of articles weighing this great man. It's only because it's so hard to imagine him not here that we should try to visualize his presence and understand that which was back of all his great achievements, his personality. It was not a personality easy to know, except by his closest and his dearest, because he was one of those unusual men who did not need to pour out their hearts in order to find release of doubts. When he spoke to a purpose. And when he stopped speaking, he was silent and had a certain monumental immobility. Never poured out his heart. He had an immense reserve. And yet we know him. because he was a rabbi and a preacher. And from this pulpit he spoke week after week. And when you hear a great rabbi speak, he becomes unconcealed. You learn all about him. The very cadence of his sentences, his very choice of words, the music of his utterance and his selection of themes, week after week, are a revelation of his personality. So in a sense, if we take the trouble, we can know him. Abba was a remarkable preacher, and it wasn't only his eloquence, that God-given talent which he worked upon and refined so magnificently during his professional years. It wasn't his eloquence. His eloquence was only the vehicle for his thought, the stream on which the boat of his ideas sailed through life. It was his thought, and his thought was unusual, and there's a secret to knowing what it was. The way he quoted scripture. No one quoted scripture the way Abba Hillel Silver did. He didn't quote over frequently. He didn't quote, as most of us are inclined to do, as an accretion or an ornament to the text of the service. When he quoted scripture, it was interwoven into the tapestry of his words. And the text modified to its need. The words of ancient days became living word. How can I describe it to you, dear friends? Only a fellow rabbi might sense it. He was so deep in scripture that it was as if the centuries that passed had faded away, and he was still one of its inspired authors. The Bible was his. And it wove itself into his text because it was part of his heart. Some of us know the tradition. Many of us use the tradition. Abba was the living tradition. And that's why he's unforgettable. It's the blessing which the popes give in Rome. They say the blessing goes urbe et orbe, from the city over the world. And of course, this was his starting place. Here he returned, but he worked in the world. And a very interesting temperament there was to his work. People think of him as a fighter. He was. A fighter for a cause. But the very nature of his battles, the psychological nature, reveal the uniqueness of this exceptional personality. People will say he was fearless. Yes, he was fearless. Other people are fearless. But his fearlessness was unique. And you can see it this way. Many people fought with him, and he fought with many. He had to rebuild movements, change moods of whole nations, change the attitude of legislative bodies. And to do that, he fought. And he fought against certain people. And certain people resented his victory. And there were certain people who disliked him. But I venture he never bothered to dislike anybody. Not for any length of time. It just didn't matter to him. He spoke for a cause, not against people. And he spoke without fear. And the reason for the difference is this.
Anybody can be brave under special circumstances. Many people in an argument and in a public debate can be almost heroic, but they have to work themselves up in emotion against their opponents. To Abba, there never were opponents. There was only a right side and a wrong side. Therefore, hate was never involved, and resentment never maintained. He fought the battle, and when it was ended, that was that. Other people had to make themselves courageous. This man, I've watched him for years. This man never had to work up his courage. He was like one of those legendary creations in the book of Job, Heosui Veliches, created without fears. I think we have witnessed what we rarely see in life, a natural hero. What Shakespeare said there, In Romeo and Juliet, no, it was an Anthony and Cleopatra at the end that we quoted is pagan. It isn't for us. He said, the bright day is gone and we are for the dark. The bright day has gone, but we are not for the dark. We keep in mind, rather, the great rabbinic saying in almost all the legal literature, when a very great rabbi dies, they always say, they don't say Jacob has departed. They say he has bequeathed to us the heritage of life. Shovak lon chayim. That's what Abba has done for us. He's bequeathed to us a heritage. The living tradition merges better with our life today because of him. Because of him, in his own unforgettable phrase, the timeless irradiates the timely. And many of us are less hesitant. Many of us will face life with greater courage, because this natural hero lived among us. So may God give strength to his dear wife, to his boys, to his brother, to his sisters. He had a strong family sense. And may God help us all. Let's say a great life has ended. A great memory now begins. Amen.
Our God and God of our fathers, thou hast commanded thy children, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, to be hallowed unto the Lord. For fruitful years, our revered spiritual leader, teacher, friend, beloved one, labored in thy vineyard, O Lord. He planted noble vines and reaped great harvest, a benevolent harvest of human betterment and growth. Now his Sabbath has come. Hallowed is he in the hearts of men, as he is unto thee, O Lord, our God. As the faithful of Israel have preserved the Sabbath, so the Sabbath of our teacher will preserve the faith of Israel and mankind. The memory of our rabbi shall ever be part of our beings. the remembrance of his silver words and golden silences. He was a man who knew the solace of both speech and silence, will remain alive within us and through us to all who respond to our influence. As we preserve his memory shall preserve us, giving us the inspiration of example, the depth of wisdom, the heroism of dedication, and the commitment of faith. In mutual tenderness, his memory and our affections shall preserve each other throughout the years. Amen. And now let us all stand in all portions of this temple for the closing prayer, El Molei Rachamim, which will be sung by Richard Tucker.
Oh!
Everyone, please be seated in the main sanctuary and in all portions of the temple. Please be seated. The audience in all sections of the temple building is requested to be seated and to remain seated until you are dismissed by your ushers. It is imperative to maintain appropriate decorum and safety that you carefully follow your area usher's instructions about dismissal. The family will be at home to their immediate family and out-of-town guests today. They will be at home to friends on Monday through Thursday from 7 to 9 in the evening.